Everything else can fall apart if the foundation isn't held together, if the foundation isn't set in place, and if the foundation isn't set according to God's principles and living according to God's principles. I've heard it said before that any nation is only as good as the fathers in the nation. Any nation is only good as the fathers who will take their place in the nation. There's so much more to being a father than simply providing sperm. There's so much more to being a father than simply, you know, to be related to somebody. There's so much more to fatherhood than simply producing a child. There's so much more that is God-given to the place of the father in the home than merely when we say of being the head of the home or giving orders in the home. There's so much more that's imparted to the children through the life of the father. It is a precious, precious place, and it's an honor to be in that position as well. It's an honor that you have been given. Fathers, it's an honor that you have been given before God. And sometimes it may seem like you're not seen, but you're the foundation. Foundations don't always have to be seen to be effective. But you have been put in a position by God that it's an extremely honorable position. Don't ever look down at your position. I know even some of the things that happen in the world today doesn't necessarily honor fatherhood. Motherhood is even honored more than fatherhood in many, many ways. And just look at the finances that are spent on Mother's Day compared to Father's Day. I believe in the U.S. it's around $10 billion that is actually spent on Mother's Day, and Father's Day is about $8 billion. And so we're never in that position. And I've heard one fellow say, you know, a father goes to a kid's basketball game and any kind of sport, they're there all the time, they're cheering them on. But when the kid suddenly gets in front of a camera, first thing to say is, "Hi, Mom," rather than talk about the father. But the father doesn't have to be seen in order to know that their position is very sacred. And it's very honorable to have received that position before God, because it holds everything together. Some might be here today, and you might say, "Well, I agree with you, Pastor. I agree with the scripture that says, you know, honor your father and mother so that things will go well with you. But I've had a lousy father." Some might be saying that I've had a father that never treated me well at all, never treated me like a father should. I've had a father who abused me. I had a father that slapped me around. I have had a father that really never imparted anything that I can think of that is good for me. Well, you know, sometimes when we run into those positions, then there's lots of people who have had very, very disappointing upbringings with their parents and their father. But sometimes we think to honor them then means that we are suggesting that they were a good father, or we're suggesting that what they did to me was not wrong. And we have to get over that misconception, because we can honor the position of our fathers and still realizing that they weren't great. Maybe they were not nice men at all. But we can still honor the position of the father. Somehow we have to figure out a way to be able to honor them in the midst of all their imperfections. If we don't learn to do that, we'll begin to walk in some of those exact same imperfections. We'll begin to do some of the same things, some of the things we abhorred the most. We'll begin to walk in them. And some of the vows that we make sometimes about our fathers, some of the things that they did to us, we might say, "Well, when I'm a father, I'll never do that. When I'm a father, I'll do this, that something that was never done for me." When we make those vows, sometimes they have a way, they have a spiritual way of coming right back to us. When you make a statement, it seems like the spirit realms open and listen to that statement. And our words have a way of coming to pass when we make that vow, especially when we're in a deep-seated emotional place. Those words have a way of coming to pass. And so we We want to make sure that we don't make vows against our parents. Another thing, after I got saved and after I started learning about fatherhood and after I started learning about some of the things that fathers should impart to their children and some of the things that they should do, spending time with them and so forth, I remember I felt a sense of loss because those things weren't done for me when I was growing up. I've kind of got angry on the inside, and I remember the Lord speaking to me very clearly at the time. The Lord said to me, he, meaning my dad, he didn't have the knowledge that you have. He didn't read the books that you have read. He didn't hear the things that you heard about fatherhood. He did what he could with what he had to work with. And a lot of fathers did that. They weren't taught how to be a father. And so they just lived their fatherhood life out of their experience. But I thank God things can change. We can actually begin to learn some things and understand some things. We can take an initiative and begin to understand some things about what fatherhood is all about. Let me tell you just a few of the things that fatherhood is supposed to do for the children. Some of the things that fatherhood is supposed to do. One of the things is that the father imparts identity to the children. Identities. A lot of children seem to know who they are. A lot of young men, young women don't seem to know who they are today. It seems like that they've lost that kind of concept of who they actually belong to. And a fatherhood sets their children in a place of identity. How many of us have been places sometimes and we begin talking to somebody and they say, oh, where are you from? And you tell them and they kind of know some people from where you're from. And the first thing they say, well, who's your father? Your father sets you in a place of identity. You begin to understand who you are. You begin to have a sense of belonging because you can identify yourself. Fatherhoods impart that identity. And if a man doesn't know who he is, he will become somebody else. That's the problem. You see, if a man doesn't have a strong sense of identity of who they belong to and who they are, they'll start looking for other things, other ways, other concepts to fill that void on the inside of them of not knowing who they are. So a father imparts identity. One of the things that I believe many times, and a lot of times anyway, maybe not so much today, but certainly in the past, one of the things that fathers impart is a good work ethic, a strong work ethic. I believe that's something that we need to understand today, that there are some things that in this age of entitlement, there has to be a work ethic a standard that we live by. And a father can impart that. A father imparts purpose to a child's life. The reason why you're here. Not only who you belong to, but there's a reason why you're here. And a father imparts a purpose. A father imparts a sense of power to be able to accomplish goals. There's nothing like receiving a word from your father about they're proud of you and they have faith that you're able to do whatever you set your hand to, that to know that they're behind you imparts a lot of confidence to children, let me put it that way. So a father can impart a lot of confidence. A father also imparts destiny into a child's life. Destiny. You're here for a reason. You're here for a reason. A lot of people don't know their destiny today, and a lot of it is because they haven't had proper fatherly input. A father also sets order in the family. A father can set order in the family. These are some of the things that a father is meant to do. Maybe you experienced in your life that order was never set in your family. But that doesn't mean that that's not what's supposed to happen. Matthew 3:17 says, when Jesus came up out of the water, being baptized, there was a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Every child needs to hear that from their father. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus heard that from his heavenly Father. Every one of us fathers need to impart that to our children, that they have to know that we are well pleased in them. how sad it is for a child to constantly trying to get their father's attention, trying to get their father's love, trying to get their father's approval. It's a hard way to live. Let me read that scripture from the Message Bible. And along with the Spirit, a voice, whenever Jesus came up out of the waters of baptism, "This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." Delight of my life. That's something a child has to know, that their father looks upon their children as the delight of their life. Psalm 2:7 says, "I declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" And it seems that those words expressed by the Father God, it seems like he's so happy, he's so thrilled, that "You are my son. Today I've begotten thee. I have chosen you. I have chosen you. I've set you in place." And this is something that every one of us need to know and understand, that God, the Father of the universe. Now, if you've had a father that was imperfect upon this earth, if you've had, you can't look for the fatherly attributes to be breathed into your life on earth, then if you can't find that on earth, then look to heaven. Because we have one that can impart all those things to us. He's so perfect, and he chose you and me. That is an awesome thing. He chose you. When your natural father, on earth, he didn't have any choice. He didn't have a choice to choose you. He just had to take what came. But our Heavenly Father, he chose you. He wanted you. He desired you. He chose you from the very foundations of the world. He loved you that much. He cares you, cares about you. And whether you realize or not, your Heavenly Father delights in you. Isn't that awesome when you think about it? The Creator of the universe, Father God, he delights in you. He wants to spend time with you. He cares about you. He loves you. I've said this many times, and I'll say it again, because I believe this is something that we need to practice. Once I understood that how much God loves me, even in my imperfection, that's one of the things that we have to admit. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if we are to look at our fathers as imperfect, they have fallen short. We also remember we have fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in the midst of that imperfection, God looks at you and says, "I'm your father, and I delight in my children. I am absolutely delighted to have you as my child. That's an awesome thing. I'm delighted," he says. And when I learned those things, I lay in bed at night, and I'd be thinking, "Father God, you delight in me. You look down upon me right now, and you're smiling at me, because your word says that you delight in me, that you love me, that while I was a sinner and an enemy toward you, you sent Jesus to die for me. You love me. You care about me that much. Father, I thank you. I love you, Lord, and you are smiling at me. I am your son in whom you are well pleased." I don't know if you talk to yourself like that, but I do. I talk to myself and say, "Lord, I know I'm your son in whom you are well pleased." And you know what happens? When you start saying things like that and you start talking like that, you begin to experience the love of God. You begin to actually experience. It's not just something you read in a book. You actually begin to feel the love of the Father. You actually begin to feel loved. And dads, only when you do that, only when you can feel that you are loved by the Father, only when you can fully understand that, are you able to impart that love to your children. You see, that's something that comes from the Father. It's not necessarily a natural thing. It's a supernatural love of the Father that can flow through us into our children. And I just feel impressed to say this. There's many times that children and parents, or children and sons and fathers, or daughters and fathers, something happens in life somewhere down the line. And it seems like there's a wedge that comes in. and it seems like you can't get over it, I want to encourage you to speak wholesome things about your parents, wholesome things about your father, wholesome things, because you want to be blessed upon the earth. And if your father is still living, if you're still able, and there's anything that provides or is a wedge between you, be determined to deal with it. Don't just let it go, because it can eat down on the inside of you like a cancer. I can still remember reading stories about a man who was dying. He was 85 years old, and there was one thing that he wanted to hear his father say. He flew across the country to be with his father, who was 85 years old. And he went all the way there just because he was hoping. He had a thirst somehow within him to hear his father say, "I love you, son." There was such an empty gap on the inside of him that he wanted to hear his father say, "I love you, son." It meant that to him. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't make any difference. We all need to be fathered. And I'll say something else too. Fathers, you will never learn to be a good father unless you've learned to be a good son or a good daughter. You'll never learn to be a good father unless you've learned to be a good son. We should never think that we have graduated. Dads, we should never think that we have graduated to the point where we don't have to be a good son anymore. We always have to be a good son to the Father. Always. And if we will remember that, it will help us to treat our children and to impart the Father's love to them. My desire is for my children to experience not just my love, but the love of the Father flowing through me. I want to be a conduit of that love to the children. There was a little boy who asked his father how much he earned an hour when he got home from work one day. And the father was kind of annoyed. He had a hard day at work and was wondering what would he want to know that for. And the little kid kept pestering him until he finally told him he's $20 an hour. And the little kid went away sad. But then after a while, after a long period of time, he came back to his father and he had gathered up and saved up and he had $20. And he said, "Dad, I want to spend an hour with you. I want to pay you for an hour for you to spend with me." His father was broken, of course, and understood that he wasn't with his son very much. This little kid saved up his money to spend time with his dad. I want you to know that God's time can't be bought. You can't save up enough money to spend time with God. But he'll never hold himself from you. That's the awesome part. He will never hold himself from you. All you have to do is recognize his presence where you are, where you're at. All you have to do is acknowledge that he is here. Sometimes when you might be out doing your work, "God, I thank you that you're with me." Acknowledge his presence. "God, I thank you for fathering me right now. I need a father right now, God. Be here for me." And he's there. He's there. You can't possibly afford God, but he's always there for you. Amen.